Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Joe Diffie, who will be performing Thursday night at the Great Frederick Fair, my hometown of Frederick. Love it up there. He'll be with Sammy Kershaw and Aaron Tippin as part of the Roots and Boots tour. Joe Diffie, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
What's it been like touring with Sammy? We talked to him yesterday. What's it been like touring with him and Aaron?
Oh, it's been great. You know, we're the same ages and have the same, you know, similar backgrounds, kind of blue collar working backgrounds, and so we all get along great, and we have a good time together.
That's awesome. Yeah, Sammy was telling me a little bit about how you guys came up with doing the idea for the tour. That obviously you guys saw massive success in the 90s, and now you're bringing it back a little bit. And he says that you each take turns with, probably take turns singing about 6 or 7 songs each. And he says the crowd's amazed. They know the words to every song. Talk a little bit about how sort of you got your songs are timeless and people know them all, even if they don't remember, they know them all.
Well, you get a lot of that. It's like, oh, I forgot he sang that. Oh, I didn't know he sang that. Cool. Yeah, it's just one of those. You know, we all three of us had a really good run in the 90s, and so a little bit of a nostalgia factor, I guess. People enjoy coming to see it and hearing songs they're familiar with, and of course we do it. It's all a acoustic show that we do together, so we're all on stage at the same time, which is a little bit unique, and so you get to kind of see more of our personalities and hear a little bit more about the songs. And, you know, we goof around a lot and we just have a good time.
Absolutely. Now, tell me a little bit about how you got started. Didn't you write some stuff that Hank Thompson recorded?
Yeah, that was kind of my first dip of the toe in the music business, you know. Nice. Of course, I'd sang in groups and, you know, bluegrass groups and gospel groups and country bands and whatever else before that. But I wrote a song, and unbeknownst to me, my mother sent it to Hank Thompson, and he recorded it. So I was like, that was kind of cool, you know. So that was kind of my first foray into it. So that kind of gave me my inspiration to move to Nashville. That's back when I still lived in Oklahoma. So.
Oh, yeah. Man, and if any of our listeners, any younger ones don't remember, Hank Thompson was a legend in country music. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had kind of a Western swing kind of thing that he did. And I tell you, it was kind of full circle, though. It was kind of interesting. I got inducted into the Oklahoma Country Music Hall of Fame with Hank Thompson at the same night. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
That was that a bit of a wild full circle thing to have someone that sort of got you idolized and broke in the business with, and all of a sudden you're basically on equal footing with him now.
It was weird, actually, but yeah, I get inducted in the Hall of Fame, and I told my family and my daughter, says, "Well, Dad, that's cool. You're not even dead yet." I was like, "Hey."
That's great. What was his song? Was it Wild Side of Life? Is that what it was?
Yeah, that was his big one, was Wild Side of Life. Yeah,
yeah. And it wasn't God Made Honky Tonk Angels was sort of the response to that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Hey, we're going down memory lane here, baby.
Boy, that's old school right there.
Yeah, I love it. But speaking of that, and me and Sammy Kershaw talked about this yesterday. But he was saying about how today's country music sounds a lot different from back in those days with the Hank Thompsons, and actually even from what you guys did sort of in the early 90s, it's kind of been more infused with a little rock and even some pop, and hey, Taylor Swift jumped to pop. So,
right.
But talk about going to see your guys' show is going to be slightly different from that. And you think there's an appetite sort of for that old school country sound?
Well, it seems to be. I mean, we've sold out virtually every show we've done, which is we've all kind of been amazed by that, and thrilled by it. So, yeah, I mean, but it's mostly different because, again, it's I don't know what you'd call it, kind of almost like a songwriters in the round kind of a thing where we're all on stage together. And,
right.
And so there's no, there's no drums and all the big production and stuff. We just get up there, and so you get to kind of hear the song broken down and raw. And so, then you get to hear little stories about the songs. And like I say, it's a little bit of a unique thing for all three of us to be up there at the same time.
I like it. But, speaking of the new music and the newer artists, they've even, what was it, Jason Aldean did a little bit of a shout-out back to you, and he had like a whole song with the Joe Diffie line in it, right?
He did. So, yeah, called 1994 was the name of the song, and Yeah, I was. We've had fun with that. You know, I get asked a lot of times, you know, what do you think about that song? I guess people think I'm not going to like it. I'm like, well, how could I not like a song that's about me?
Yeah, reintroduce maybe a new crowd to you. Absolutely.
Yeah, we did. Absolutely. Got a lot of Jason's fans come to our shows, and they're like, hey, that's that dude he's talking about. So, yeah. And the cool part is, you know, you see them, they know every word to every all of my songs.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Obviously they've done some research and, you know, et cetera. So it's pretty cool.
Well, I know you're being humble with when you say the research, but they don't have to do much research, sir. It's your stuff's still in heavy rotation whenever they bust out, maybe on weekends on some country stations or something. We hear your stuff a lot. Do you mind running through some of them with me? Because I love some of these songs.
Sure.
I'll throw out a couple of them, maybe rapid fire a little bit, and you can kind of remind me where you were and how it came about.
But
your first big one was Home, right?
Yeah, that was my very first song. I actually sang the demo on it and had it forever before, you know, we got to actually go in the studio and record it. And I almost didn't record it because I'd had it so long, I kind of, you know, it kind of fell to the bottom of the pile. And my producer at the time said, man, what about this song? I'm like, I don't know. And so he said, let's listen to it. So we listened to it, and both of us got tears in our eyes. And I thought, well, you know, gosh, if that does that to us, maybe it'll do it to everybody else. So thank goodness we recorded it. It was my first single and first number one song.
Top the charts, yeah. And your next album had a couple more hits, too. Like, and let's just pick one to talk about. Ships That Don't Come In, big one.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite songs, probably my favorite song that I've recorded.
Why is that?
I don't know exactly why. It's just a very poignant song, and it seems to mean different things to different people. I get a lot of great stories from our military folks actually tell me that they really like that song. So I almost didn't record that one as well. I it was during the Desert Storm thing, and my producer brought it to me, and I was like, man, I don't know. I don't want to, like, people think I'm taking advantage of a situation, a terrible situation. But he said, that's not what it's about. I was like, okay. So thank goodness I recorded that one.
Yeah, still resonates. All right, and then one of my personal favorites, Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox If I Die. That's one of the most fun country songs of the last, like, 25 years, man. All right, talk about where do you remember when that one came about?
Yeah, it was one of those, sometimes you look for songs, like I say, you're not sure about them, you know, you don't know what to think about them, but that was a kind of a no-brainer for me when I heard it. I was like, that's a cool song right there. So we did that, and I thought this was interesting. I was at the Academy of Country Music Awards in Hollywood one year, right near when that came out, and I was out in the hallway, and I hear somebody, you know, said, hey, Joe. And I looked around, and I saw Liza Minnelli. Okay,
what?
And she goes, hey, Joe. And I turned around, and I said, me? And she says, yeah. So I walked over there, and she goes, I just want to tell you, I love Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox.
That is great.
I was like, wow, how did you even hear that? So,
Judy Garland's daughter likes Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox. That's breaking news right there.
It was pretty cool. I was like, wow, that's unbelievable.
I
couldn't believe she was whispering, you know, going, hey, Joe, to me. I was like, me?
That's
cool.
You should have her cover that one. I could see her, you know, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go tonight. I can hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. But the song's so cool because it's almost like, you know, it's like a last will and testament, but a fun version of it. You know, I love it.
Exactly.
I love it.
Exactly.
Also, same album, John Deere Green on a Hot Summer Night. Everybody can sing that one by heart, too. Why do you think that one caught fire so much?
That, I don't know, honestly. It's still my most popular song, probably. You know, it doesn't take long for somebody to start hollering that one out every time we play a show. So I don't know why it's that popular. I will tell you that I played it for my parents, and my mom cried. She hated it. She thought it was rock and roll.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and compare that to a lot of stuff today. Think about
that.
Yeah,
I know. Isn't that funny? But, yeah, so I thought that was funny. She just cried. She thought, it's rock and roll. I'm like, well, mother, it's not either.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly. Are Billy Bob and Charlene named after anybody, or where did that come from?
Well, the guy that wrote this song was named Dennis Lindy. He passed away a few years ago. But he was a very eclectic, eccentric guy, and he wrote, at one point one year, he had like four or five songs in the top 10 at the same time. I mean, he had Bubba Shot the Jukebox with Mark Chestnut. He had Queen of My Double Wide Trailer with Sammy. Mm-hmm. He had, I don't know, just a couple other ones. But he, I thought this was interesting. He was kind of a hermit. He would never come to town. He would write his songs, and he would demo them all by himself at his house. And but he had a big mural painted on the wall, and it was a mural of a town. And he had every place named and had characters in it, and all these characters from those all those songs he wrote came from that mural.
This is a fictitious mural of just random characters.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he wrote Earl Has to Die. I think the Dixie Chicks did that one. He just a lot of interesting, kind of unusual songs that he wrote, yeah.
That's amazing. So all these song characters are floating around somewhere out there in this fictitious town in a mural.
Exactly.
That's
exactly right.
That is fantastic. All right, moving on. Third Rock from the Sun, Welcome to Earth. Was the TV show on at the time, or did the song precede that TV show?
The song preceded the TV show. Okay. And I had people for a long time, though, after that, think that they were interconnected, and they were not at all.
Right.
So they thought, a lot of people thought that I had something to do with the TV show. I got asked that a lot, but no, it wasn't. That was just a song that actually was a kind of a package deal. I wanted this other song that I liked better than Third Rock at the time, and the producer, the publisher didn't want to give it to me because Garth wanted Third Rock.
Garth Brooks wanted Third Rock.
Yeah, and so we said, "Well, we'll record both songs if you let us have that one." So they did, and when we got in the studio, it was kind of obvious that Third Rock was really a cool song. So that's where it became a single. But yeah, it's all the back doings there.
Take me into the back doings just a tad. How were you allowed to do it over Garth? How did that actually work out?
Well, I mean, it was early in Garth's career, and he hadn't exploded like he did after that.
Right.
So, you know, so nowadays they would laugh at me and you'd give it to Garth, you know. So.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you got it. You got in there and got it, though. I love that.
That's right.
It's a great story. And one of my other personal favorites, Pickup Man.
Yeah.
How did that one come about? Because it's something about singing about a pickup truck. There's something about it in country music, but it can turn into gold, baby.
Man, it's gold, Jerry, I tell you.
It's gold, Jerry. Yeah. Gold.
It's gold, Jerry. What do they call it? They should call it Round Team.
Speaking of the 90s references.
Yeah. A little Seinfeld.
Hey, man, greatest show of all time, in my opinion. But
oh,
anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead. So you're a Seinfeld fan.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just one of those songs that I knew was a hit immediately. I don't know. A couple of buddies of mine wrote it, and I don't know. Just knew it was a hit immediately. It just had that feeling, and I had it for a while. I could not wait to get in and record it on a new album at the time. And a little interesting factoid: I had Brett Bodine, former NASCAR driver, happened to be in the studio with me while I was singing it, and at the end, I was like, I wanted to do an ad lib at the end, you know, Brett actually came up with the ad lib at the end about stand on it or whatever it was I said. So,
yeah. It's a great song. Let's just hit one more. Bigger Than the Beatles, one of your biggest songs, and it's a great one.
Well, thank you. That's the only song, this is a true confession here, the only song that I did it from the get-go, had to lower the key on from the album because I had a terrible, like, laryngitis cold when we recorded it, but we already had the studio booked, the musicians were booked, we're all in there, and I couldn't sing a tap. So the songwriter, one of the songwriters was there, and I said, "Why don't you sing the scratch vocal for me?" He goes, "Okay, what key?" I said, I guess the same key that the demo is in.
Right.
Because I'd never actually sang it, I just liked the song, you know?
Right.
So he got in, they recorded it, sang it, and I got back in there, and I was like, "Uh-oh, this is really high right here." You know, if I'd have been in there singing, we would have probably lowered the key at the time. So, but anyway, that's just a fun song, you know. People love that thing.
Isn't there? It's been, remind me, because I'm trying to remember. But isn't there like a little bit of a Beatles "She Loves You"? She Loves You, in there.
Exactly at the end of it. Yeah, I had a guy who was played with me at the time named Lee Bogan. who actually plays for Aaron right now.
Aaron Tippett.
But he was a Beatles fanatic, and he came in to sing some harmony on that song, and we said, we need some Beatles stuff at the end of this, you know? So he's like, how about the yeah? So he did all those parts.
Awesome. Well, I know you're a busy man, so we'll let you go. But thanks so much for taking the time with us. And just any final word you want to say about getting people to come out to the Frederick Fair on Thursday?
Well, just, I don't know how to compel them, but come out, we'll have a good time. It's guaranteed.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Joe. Everybody, Joe Diffie on WTOP.